Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that will never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. It's over the bar.
Hello and welcome to the RTE GA podcast, Hurling Edition. We've got to the serious end of the season now, so we've decided we need to do two podcasts later on. We will be talking about Leinster football, Dublin football, and the monster we have created. But right now, it's purity. It's purity. We're just talking about hurling and camogie here, so everyone can just feel a little bit happier about that. And to do so, I'm joined by Anthony Daly, Rory O'Neill, and for the first time, Aoife Sheehan, former Limerick camogie player. How are we all doing today?
Good, Mikey.
Mike.
Good. Hi, Aoife. How are things?
Good. Thanks for having me, guys.
It's nice to have a little bit of, I don't know, not somebody different, you know. We've been doing this a while now, so it's good to freshen things up a bit. You know, it's good to have a Limerick woman on to call Dalo up on any of his nonsense.
Oh, don't worry.
It's Limerick and Clare again.
Okay, guys, look, I think we're all pretty excited about this weekend. We've got four semi-finals on in Croke Park on Saturday and Sunday, and it's got to that end of the season now where it's do or die, but it's also got to the end of the season where, especially when you're talking about hurling, I was just looking at it today, it's bananas, how close semi-finals tend to be. The two semi-finals last year, there was 3 points in it. The two semi-finals the year before, both went to extra time. One went to a replay and, you know, Galway finally prevailed. Limerick finally prevailed. Galway prevailed, but not by very much. The year before, there was one kind of a blowout where Waterford scored 419 against Cork. The year before that, we had another replay. And outside of that Limerick and Cork match, or sorry, that Cork and Waterford match, there was one match Kilkenny beat Waterford by 6 points. Other than that, they've been a lot closer. Dalo, does that just kind of suggest that there's nothing to separate the top teams? It's as simple as that? Or is there something in the nature of semi-finals? They're there to be won. They're nervy events. No team tends to get a run on another.
There's both, Mike. I guess the semi-finals have been very good right back to them. You know, even the semi-finals were nearly better than the finals when Kilkenny were dominant. They often got more of it to do in the semi-finals than in the finals. And then since Kilkenny became back to being an ordinary beast rather than the monster that they were, I think that everyone feels at the start of the year they have a reasonable chance if they've had a good bit of a pedigree underage and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, I was a big person that was against the two semi-finals on the one weekend, Mike. At the start, I rallied hugely against it, but it definitely won me over. And I suppose that first year of it in 18, you know, I mean, geez, did we think anything could be better than the Saturday of Clare and Galway? Clare being 9 points down, Coming back, draw after extra time. So we all headed for replay. And to go in the following day and witness that Cork-Limerick game, I mean, Jesus, it was breathtaking stuff like that.
Even you couldn't be stubborn enough to be against it after that.
No, that's a fact. And then last year again, you know, hugely enjoyable affair, Wexford tip match especially, massive game. And then the shock, like the following day, and it's hard to believe Colin Limerick being beaten by Kenny, a shock, but it really was to most of us. They'd look so good in Munster. So, yeah, I'm a big fan now. I'm one over. Of course, this year it is a bit different, and now we have Waterford heading into the third Sunday in a row, and that has been a problem for teams this year, as we've seen in hurling. Not so much, we have to say, the Cavan boys are behind that in the football. So, yeah, it's great to look forward to it. It's looking like it'll be brilliant stuff again the weekend. Very hard to call winners. Limerick are all Ireland favourites, but they come up against a team a lot of people feel could be the crowd that could dismantle them, you know, in terms of size and athleticism. I think so. Yeah, can't wait.
And Aoife, yourself, from your experience of semi-finals, do they tend to have a slightly different quality, you know, to a final or another match, because in some ways the stakes are higher. That place in an All Ireland final, that you know the kind of the holy grail for all intercounty players is at stake. And let's be honest, as a Wexford man, you know, I could say nobody tends to remember the beaten semi-finalist your season. It's hard to look back on your season well, I suppose the provincial championships do offer some sucker in hurling at least, but it's very hard to kind of rake over the coals of a semi-final defeat and see anything good, isn't it?
Yeah, and I suppose a lot of teams now just see it as a step, you know, it's a stepping stone to get to the final, and they're there to be won, really, the semi-finals, just kind of put it into basic terms. Like, if we look back on the Limerick game, even from 2 years ago, like, if Nicky Quaid didn't get that flick in, you know, what the story would be for Limerick since then, you know, what would have happened since? And there's been loads of little key moments like that that happened in semi-finals, and I think both yourself and Anthony alluded to there, it's been fine margins in the last couple of years, definitely. And as, again, on Sunday, I think that there won't be much between either team. You know, Waterford are coming into it. I don't think that the 3 weeks in a row will hamper them at all. I think they needed it, to be honest. And I think they needed the game against Clare to build their confidence up a bit. They had a brilliant game plan against Limerick. They really kind of, they had the measure of Limerick for three quarters of that game, definitely. And I think Liam Cahill had his homework done, and you know, his players, even, you know, they knew what to do, and you know, how to play against Limerick, because I think when Limerick came on the scene first, definitely in 2018, people didn't know how to take them. You know, they were, you know, running from the back and taking things on and playing more of a football style, really. And I suppose that's down to Paul Kinnaird's influence on them as well, and it's been working for them. But you'd worry, I suppose, from a Limerick point of view, you know, Shane O'Neill is there. Will he have the homework done on Limerick that he'll know how to counteract that as well? He knows a lot of the players very well, and obviously being a Limerick man, he knows their style. So yeah, it's going to be a very interesting weekend, and definitely they're going to be two crackers, I think, with little spare. I think it could come down to maybe Kilkenny Limerick final, really, if I was going to be thinking who's going to edge it.
Oh, she's getting the predictions in early. I like it.
That spoiled the ending. Are you supposed to leave that to the end?
Now you have to show us your workings.
And we might change your mind yet, Aoife.
Who knows?
Rory, the three weekends in a row, we'll look at the Kilkenny-Waterford game first. It is significant, isn't it? There's no getting away from it.
Yeah, it is significant. It would be something that I probably have a bit of a fear for if you were dealing with Galway or even a Tipperary, who would have a huge amount of hurling done. I think the one thing that maybe Waterford have going for them is they got their club championship out of the way quite quickly, if I'm not mistaken, Dalo. Their club championship was run off very, very quickly. They had two disastrous years in 2018 and 2019, which meant they weren't really hurling deep into either summer. So I think there's a freshness about them. I watched the game against Clare, and I only saw the highlights on Sunday night, so I watched the game back in full last night, and the one thing that jumped off the screen to me was the energy they brought, certainly to that first 20 minutes. Like, they are in very good physical shape, but I think there's a bounce in them that would make me feel that they have every chance going in on Saturday. I mean, they scored two goals in the first. They had a goal got after 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Then their next score was a goal on top of that. Then the next attack that went up, great ball to Desi Hutchinson over on the far left. He plays a beautiful ball across to Bennett. Now, at this stage, Bennett has a handy point for the taking. But what does he do? He goes for another goal. You know, and you're saying to yourself, like these guys, not only have they got like the grit between their teeth, they're absolutely up for it. They've obviously got the license as well to really go at their man, take their man on, go for the goals if they're there. I mean, that game could have been over probably, you know, very, very early doors. No, in fairness, I suppose Clare, like if Clare didn't have bad luck, they'd have no luck. Tony Kelly getting injured so early. David Mack, I think, picked up a knock really early, which definitely stunted his influence on the game. And it probably wasn't a fair reflection on Clare. But I don't think the three-week thing is going to be as much of a factor for Waterford. I think they will be fresh, and I think they'll be up for it. And I think Kilkenny will need to be on their guard.
Yeah, the Desi Hutchinson is, like, we've kind of been waiting for him to do, like, everyone who's seen him playing for Ballygunner, they knew this was there, and they've been waiting for him to do what he did in the first 5 minutes for a couple, you know, since the inter-county season started. And we've talked about this a few times on the podcast the last few weeks, the difference that the pitch can make at this time of year. Parky Cleeve is invariably a quicker pitch than Semple Stadium, and Croke Park is arguably a quicker pitch than Parky Cleeve, and that does suit a player like Desi Hutchinson, and it clearly suits how Waterford want to play a match, and certainly how they seem to want to start a match.
Yeah, and I'd say, Mike, that Eddie has been dreaming of Croke Park since he committed back to hurling again, of getting there, and possibly maybe didn't see that it happened so quick for him. But, you know, he, funnily enough, he got the equivalent of Croker when he got Parky Keeve now, because the surface is nearly almost the same. And look, it is nearly like playing on an all-weather field. Like, the ball is flying. It's probably a nightmare for cornerbacks, to be honest. I mean, Roy Hayes manfully stuck to the game and came out with a lot of ball, and it was a real find for Clare this year. But at the end of the day, when your man gets 2-2 and makes another goal, and possibly another goal and a point as a cornerback, that's not a good day's out work for me anyway. Maybe thinking like an old-styled one. But yeah, he is really deceptive, has that vision, has that step. And yeah, you just worry, I suppose, the thing, Kilkenny were trouble, certainly against Dublin in the second half, when Eamon Dillon and Rory Hayes came on, and they looked to be in all sorts of trouble. They tried three different guys on Dillon, if I call. Obviously tightened up the last day, conceded a lot of points instead. Took Galway, but I got the job done. And, you know, could you see Waterford hitting as many points? I don't think so. I think even against Limerick, when the goal didn't come, they were kind of always chasing it, if that's right, in that they did go toe-to-toe, without a doubt, but they only got their nose in front by a point for literally 2 minutes coming up to the water break. And after that, Limerick sort of kept their noses in front. But look, I think Rory is right. There is a lot to look forward to from Waterford in terms of the treat. Now, funny enough, you know, since the round robin came in, Mike, nobody has managed to win 3 weeks in a row in hurling. They might have won three matches in a row, but not on the 3 week spin, if you know what I mean, or the 2 week spin for all the world, like boom, boom, boom. Let's say they had a week's break. So funny enough, he did something in hurling. Look, I'm going back a few years, but with the Dubs, we had five matches in a row in 13, and I loved it. We weren't training at all, really. We were only getting together and nearly having a bit of crack and doing a bit of video reviewing, and we went swimming, we went kayaking, and we just, you know, we kept it fresh, kept them buzzing, and they loved it. And I think Rory might be right in that Waterford didn't win a game either in 17 or 19. So
2019,
let's say for sure this team can't be saying, look, we're burned out, we had a long season last year and all that. They haven't come out of the round robin the last 2 years. So yeah, I do think they are equipped to play well in it. I think the likes of Hutchinson, I can't believe their fitness levels. Well, I can, Mike, when Rory mentions about the quick championship they had down there. They don't have too many dual players, save for maybe Jamie Barron and Tighe and a couple, but mostly with them as opposed to Wexford, to be fair, would have an awful lot of dual players. So, yeah, I think they'll come out fresh enough, delighted to be there, really buzzing, kind of on a nothing to lose, but everything to gain. And you know all this rubbish about, you know, it's Liam Cahill's first year, and look, they're going to get better and better. This might be the chance. Let's face it, this might be. I mean, the draw next year could be, we could be looking at the knockout with a backdoor, and they could get a Limerick and be beaten and then run into a Galway in the second round. So look, at while the iron is hot, strike, it would be my opinion. Yeah. They have a great chance.
And on that note,
they need to go off all guns that way.
They do.
You know, they played Clare last week, but I think things were a lot looser. Like, it was a very loose game. The ball was up and down. Even I think it was Desi's second goal he got. Like, the ball bounced in behind. I'm not sure who was on him at that time, but it bounced in, and I wouldn't say it was an easy goal. It was well taken, but I don't think he'll get that space against Kilkenny. Like, I can't see it being so open, free, and like, sure, Croke Park is big, but the Kilkenny boys are well able to cut down in that space. So I think that's kind of a big thing to think of as well, that, you know, and it's no disrespect to Clare, obviously, Anthony, or anything like that, but I just think it's going to be a completely different game. It was probably a great one for their confidence in getting through those plays, and, you know, for the forwards, like, getting, you know, those goals and things under your belt is brilliant. But I just think it's going to be completely different, and it's going to be another step up, definitely, against Kilkenny or at the weekend.
Yeah, Rory, Dalo makes a good point there that this could be Waterford's chance. And when you look, now we're talking about All Ireland finalists last year, but if you can't be good, at least be prepared. So I went and did some maths this morning and counted up how many All Ireland medals there were in Kilkenny's first 15 from the Leinster final. There was 26, which is undoubtedly more than any of the other semi finalists. Of course it is, but this isn't a Kilkenny team that are to be feared. If you take, like, Owen Murphy is four, Killian Buckley has 3, Port Walsh has 2, Conor Fogarty has 4, Walter Walsh 3, TJ Reid 5, and Colin Fennelly 5. That leaves 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 8 of this team who have no All Ireland medals. This is Brian Cody's 5th, 6th team, whatever he's building. But they kind of shocked a lot of people by getting to that All Ireland final last year. And like Waterford had kind of been under the jackboot a bit in recent years with their neighbour. But this is a different situation, really, isn't it? Leinster it's champions huge, or not.
Hugely different. I think like people tend to forget. Kilkenny haven't won the All-Ireland in 5 years. You know, I know that might not seem like a long time, and it certainly doesn't seem like a long time if you're from Cork, but like 5 years is long. Given what had gone on in the 10 years before 2015, 5 years is actually quite a very long time for somebody like Brian Cody. It's really interesting, actually. Dalo would get a good kick out of this one. A couple of days ago, I texted your old Bonish Door, Dalo. I texted Ger just to say, you know, how are you? A bit really, and how are things? Are you enjoying the hurling? And how do you think it's going? Blah, blah. And he sent me back a really detailed, considered response. But he had one line at the end, which just cracked me up. And it just finished off the whole text. And Rory, he said, don't be surprised if old man Cody is coming down the chimney with the McCarthy Cup in the bag of swag.
Jesus, there's an image. You know?
Yeah. And it just made me laugh. But look, I think last year they probably won that semi-final against the head against Limerick. And I think that's probably what's driving Limerick on. Look, Limerick have their own problems, I think, certainly on Sunday. And that's definitely no easy game for them. But from a Kilkenny perspective, like, I don't think Waterford are going into Sunday. Like, Waterford faced Kilkenny in many semi-finals and we were there. And you just going into the semi-final, you know, and they have no chance. That is definitely not the case this Saturday night. I think they have a very, very good chance. I think if you look at the spine of that Waterford team, and if you look at the big players, Tadhg Na Bhfirce, Jamie Barron, Austin Gleeson, Desi Hutchinson, and Stephen O'Keefe in goal, right down the middle. That's always what you would look for in every good side. Like, and right down the middle, they are solid. They are really, really strong. And they've got lovely little kind of fringe players then, but buzzing and being around the edges. They're in really good physical shape. But I think they have a manager who just doesn't take... I mean, you have to bear in mind as well, from his point of view, he really put himself under the cosh early doors when he decided to dispense with the services of Noel Connors and Mara Shanahan so early in the season. That hasn't actually come back to haunt him in any way, shape or fashion. In fact, if anything, I think it's probably laid down a marker for most of the rest of the players that they either shape up or shape out. And like, I think they're in, I give them a really, really good shout. Do you back against Kilkenny? No, but I think they have a very, very good chance. I think this is going to be tight and I think Dalo spot on. Very, very hard to call.
I tend to stay out of the predictions because I'm woefully bad.
Last week, Mikey, I went for Tipperary, lost. Clare, lost. Cork, lost. Donegal, lost. So I was 4-0.
I think Waterford are going to win this game. I really do. I think
that it's not an unreasonable thing to think. Absolutely not.
Like, Dalo, if you look at like their second half against Dublin, would give you anybody the heebie-jeebies. And now, you can't say if only for Richie Hogan come on as a sub, because that's exactly what Richie Hogan is there for, to come on and be Richie Hogan. And that's what he did. But, you know, one of those balls hops slightly differently and they're not winning that game because they could, I know Galway scored an awful lot of points and everything else against everybody, but Kilkenny conceded a lot of scores in that match.
Yeah, they did, Mike, and it was un-Cody-like of these teams, you know, to see like a 16-point lead being whittled back to a level game, and even the last day, I suppose, they played second fiddle for a long, long time. I suppose it was a little bit different this year in that what you'd feel maybe somehow is they had to be flat out the last 2 years to get out of Leinster. Mm. We saw Galway get caught last year, for instance, in Parnell Park, and you know, you really had to be on the ball very early, very... It's a bit of a throwback for Kilkenny this year in that they've won Leinster, 2 games won, 2 to go. I think he'd be quietly confident. He'll have a few worries, but you know, the whole image for me of Conor Fogarty, Walter Walsh, and the captain Colin Fennelly sitting beside each other in the stand, all whipped off,
Yeah.
When they, you know, won a Leinster title, like, what will those three boys make Saturday now? Like,
yeah.
See three fairly driven men going in there, and yet he showed what he has on the bench in him. And he might be able to leave Hogan on the bench and say, I believe Adrian Mullins still won't be a factor with a couple of minor setbacks with the knee, you know, he's making great progress. But yeah, like, they're still going to be serious. And from a Waterford point of view, Mike, you'd still have to say Clare probably, they got three goals. With two of them, they cut them completely open. Mm-hmm. Aidan McCarthy's goal up from the back, for and Aaron Shanahan's first goal. The Tony Kelly threat wasn't there. I mean, he wasn't mobile at all. Yes, Clare scored three, and I'd say Stephen O'Keefe made two fantastic saves, and Clare could have worked another one. It looked like it was just a pass too many. So yeah, you're saying against Kilkenny, if you're going to leave that sort of threat there, that, you know, they will punish. So yeah, while we talk up Waterford and Offaly, and I can see why an awful lot of people are going for them, I just think, you know, Kilkenny now will smell the chance, and as Mr. Lucknan said to Mr. O'Neill, old man Cody might come down. might be far away yet.
Well,
I just think, you know, I think there's a few of them stung, as he does, and whips them off if you're not doing it. And yet I expect possibly their best performance of the year, if he's safe for Saturday now. They had a little week, you know, week and a half to fresh. So he would have been able to go hard at it last Saturday and Sunday in-house. And freshen them up this week and have a good look at Waterford, see where the chinks are in the armory, and get his boys ready. So I give him the edge to come through.
Okay, well, congratulations, Kilkenny. I reached another Ireland final after I predicted that Waterford would win, because it's the done deal now. we'll look at Galway and Limerick. Aoife, as a Limerick woman, first of all, I have to ask you, because I thought there was the consternation over what Donal Cusack said on the Sunday game about Johnny Murphy's appointment, which I didn't think was an unreasonable question to ask by him or Liam Sheedy. I'm not saying in any way Johnny Murphy would have been swayed, but at the same time, as Brian Gavin said in the Examiner on Monday, why even make it an issue? Like, there's enough referees around to not put Johnny Murphy on that game.
Put him in the position, even. I know. But I suppose if anybody knows, now I don't know Johnny Murphy personally, but just knowing him from on the field, he definitely wouldn't be swaying anything Limerick's way whatsoever. Or, you know, he's definitely his own man on the pitch. But I suppose it was unfortunate for him, because it put him in the spotlight. And hopefully the same won't be said of, you know, James Owens or at the weekend as well, because you don't want that at all. But
excellent referees in charge on both games on Sunday, on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, so hopefully they won't, you know, he won't be chatting about them Sunday evening or whatever on the Sunday game. But yeah, I just think it was a bit of controversy. It was, but I don't think he had a major impact, really. I know the sending off, you could argue. Look, and I know they were pointing out places where Cottle Barrett would have been when, you know, Hart came up and got the goal. But look, how do we know he'd be there? I don't think so. And I think that, especially, I suppose, when you're flicking the hurley around helmet areas now, you know it's a no-go. And you, as players, you know you can't touch that space.
It
was just unfortunate, I think, though, because when you're looking back, I really don't know what the first yellow was for. So I suppose that's where people were most aggrieved, as opposed to the second one. Because the second
was the first one. The first one where he didn't make contact, I suppose.
Yeah,
the hurl was waved a bit high, but he was a long way from making any contact.
And that's the thing. And as a ref, I mean, there's always going to be those kind of decisions that are made in any match, no matter what sport it's in, that, you know, it's heat moment. It's pinpointing that second, whatever. And I suppose he didn't have the luxury maybe then of asking whoever else was there. But no, I think that's kind of forgotten about now. I don't even know did John make any reference to it or anything. I think it's just over, whatever.
I think so. Yeah. I suppose the reason I kind of ask it is just in light of Shane O'Neill, I suppose, it is interesting, because he's not, like, it's not new for somebody to manage against their own county. But it is quite new for the manager.
Game McCregan probably years ago.
Yeah, so exactly.
The pain of the past.
But for Shane O'Neill, it is interesting, because he just knows so many of those players personally from his days in the Pearshig. He said last night that he's kind of cut off all contact with any of them, which would seem logical enough. So it does add a certain interesting dynamic, which I'm sure he's professional enough, so to speak, to get over.
It does. And I suppose, look, he's working in Limerick, he's living in Limerick, so he's, you know, he's engrossed in everything that's going on there as well. He will know them. And I suppose it's Limerick, the way they play, it's that if, you know, if he can come up with a game plan to counteract that. And I think, you know, other, definitely Liam Cahill came very close to us too. But then I think Limerick's fitness and their stamina and, you know, all their strength and conditioning and all that came into the fore for the last quarter in that match against Waterford. But, you know, if Galway can do that, go toe-to-toe, two very physical teams, obviously, you know, like a lot of the Limerick guys, they're over 6 foot, but, you know, so are Galway. So it'll be very interesting that way. But it just depends if he can expose little areas. You know, will he put Joe Canning on Declan Hannan, for example? Because I know Declan likes to kind of sit back and kind of take the ball that's floating around and things like that. So, you know, what will he do there? But yeah, it'll just be interesting to see the markups. And I suppose for the likes of even Garrod Hegarty, maybe he plays, you know, he plays a fine line. He's a fine, tough player. And he, you know, will he be afraid to go really hell for leather on Sunday then in case he's picking up yellows or whatever?
Rory, last year kind of Kilkenny set a template for how to beat Limerick by kind of not allowing them to short puck outs and then contesting everything, every long puck out, like their lives depended on it, as is the want of a Kilkenny team. But Waterford, it was interesting last day, Waterford didn't do that. Waterford actually let them have their short puck outs and then tackled them in their own half, like attack the runner and trying to stop them at source. So It's interesting to see that there seems to be two ways to skin this cat, which most people, this Limerick team, who most people seem to think are kind of odds on favour. But they're, you know, not that Waterford managed it, but they did show a glimmer of hope in a different way to how Kilkenny did it last year.
Yeah, and I think you, the first part of your question is absolutely nailed on. I mean, what Kilkenny brought to the party last year when trying to take Limerick down was that sort of manic, sort of frenzy, aggression in the tackle for the first 10 or 15 minutes. I mean, I can't remember what the score was after 15 or 20 minutes, but were Limerick about 1-6, 1-7 to a point, you know, or one, like the, basically Kilkenny shot off into a lead. Limerick had to play the rest of the game and in a version of sort of catch up. They were effectively gave Kilkenny an 8 or 9 point or 10 point lead, and it ended up costing them in the end. And I think but that's type of game plan that Kilkenny brought, from what I can see, it's only Kilkenny that can seem to actually inflict that type of mentality. I mean, they do it nearly in every match they play anyway. It just seems to be the way they go about it. It's why it's so hard to get space on a field when you're playing against a Kilkenny team, because they go for everything 100%. Cody wouldn't accept anything less. Waterford came at it certainly with a different approach. It'd be very interesting to see what way Galway decide to go at it. I mean, look, if we go back to their last big meeting, which was the All-Ireland final of 2 years ago, I thought Limerick were by far the better side that day and were left hanging on. I think that was probably a more nervous disposition on Limerick's part, not having won it since 73. I think they have had an absolute plethora of success since, with Munsters and leagues, and now they're back in an All-Ireland semi-final again. I think you probably see a much more assertive performance from Limerick this time round, and I'm not entirely sure if Galway will have the legs. They have introduced some younger players to try and freshen the team up, but they're still reliant on the Dahi Burks and, you know, so like Joe Cannings and some of the older heads, and Conor Whelan. Obviously, he's not that old, I know, but I think like Dahi Burke versus Aaron Gillan is probably worth the admission fee if anybody was allowed to pay to go in and watch the game alone. Yeah. But I just think Limerick are just at a stage in their cycle now where I think they will just have too much for Galway on Sunday for me.
Yeah, Anthony, you know a lot of these lads very well, obviously, from time involved down below in Limerick. Like, they're still quite a young team. Have we kind of reached a stage now where they've seen everything and kind of have had everything thrown at them that they know how to take it and beat it? Or is there still the chance that a team could do like Kilkenny did to them last year and just kind of knock them off their guard? Or do you think they've kind of become that little bit more battle-hardened, a bit more streetwise now?
Well, I think, Mike, you know, the best thing is, and I know myself from the mid-90s, that getting beaten, trying to defend your title, you know, gives you a real kick in the behind and probably stings you that you want to get back there again, and you feel you have the ability and you want to get back. So for that sense, last year might have done no harm. For this I know everyone would love to be going for three in a row, but at the same time, I think there's a real hunger, and I think really they've won the Munster title, won the league and that, but it was all about getting back to this weekend, really, wasn't it? That was their target. This is where they fell last year. We want to get back there and put it right and get back into the final again. So, yeah, I think that won't be any problem for them. I do feel Galway are the best equipped team to take them out, maybe. Honestly, do feel they have the ability. They have the 3 weeks in a row as well to overcome now. But and that was a bruiser last weekend with Tip. So, there would be, like, after Limerick as well, heavy pitch. Well, heavier than, let's say, Croker and you know, against a fresh Limerick team. And yeah, I wonder, like, if you get a bit more of Joe Kenning this year, and I bet it's Joe's Joe, and what a wonderful last 10 minutes he gave us again the last day when they really needed someone to see them home. But I think they were very reliant on maybe Cathal Mannion and a couple of more like that on earlier on to keep them in the game. I mean, Tip led by 6 points after half time. So, again, here though, I just think that Limerick. I mean, will we even see Gillane and Dahi Burke, Rory? There's so many options.
How do you see that one panning out, Dalo? Like, who will pick up Aaron Gillane? They'll have to do.
Well, the big question is, will he stick with Kyle wing back? I suppose, you know, and I think he might at this stage now. He likes it, I'd say, and it's a fair wall there. But the thing is, does Dev really keep his place? No, he didn't do anything wrong the last day, and he obviously likes him a lot. But could you see a Flanagan turn in from the start maybe for this one and put in there on Burke as a different sort of an option, and Gillane pop to the corner maybe? So there's a whole pile of things, and Limerick anyway don't really play straightforward. He's often up there on his own and making diagonal runs and that kind of thing. He does have that aerial ability to fetch the one-on-one, but can he do it off Dahi? That's hard to know. I think Limerick would be quite happy to slug this out on points. I mean, they score 36 of them against Clare, no bother. You know, they conceded a couple of goals that day. You know, it doesn't seem to bother them going that route. So, yeah, I just feel the sum of the parts there. I thought the last day was possibly their worst performance, credit to Waterford, from the three in Munster. So,
yeah.
Kylie will be, you know, I'd say he'd have been fairly laying it on the line for them what's needed for the weekend, especially now that Galway have come through. And the earlier bit about John Murphy stuff. I mean, for Johnny to say that they would rather face Limerick than Tip, or someone to suggest that, I think that's ridiculous. I mean, Jesus, Galway and themselves was an epic All-Ireland. And Galway have often said, sure, we only hurled for 10 or 15 minutes and we nearly beat you in 18. And you know, they've comprehensively beaten Tip this year alone and in last year's Munster final. So I think that goes out the window. There's none of that at play.
Any meditation on Johnny Murphy's point. I was just making the point that why put him in that position? Why?
Yeah, well, just enough the point referees to go around. Made after the game, Mikey.
Hmm?
The point was made after the game, you know. So, I mean, that's.
Nobody cared.
That's it. Like, why wasn't it made that week? Like, you know.
Yeah, it's true enough.
We all know like that Fergal Horgan and Liam Cahill hurled together for the Tip under 21s, you know. And he's refereeing the Waterford game. So you could go off the rails with this stuff. These referees want to have a great game. That's what they want. And they want to be in line for the final.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they want. And
it's a small enough community as well, I suppose.
These are top level counties. They deserve to be doing the games.
Yeah. Just going to ask Aoife, when you think about these two teams, I suppose there's the physicality of it. And there's also... It's hard not to get hung up on half-back, half-forward battles, but the Limerick half-forward line are the most fated line in the game at the moment. But 2 years ago, it was the Galway half-back line, and they're just two elite units who work so well together, even when obviously Kyle Hayes has come out of there for Limerick now, but there's just the talents that's there, the physicality that's there. It's one of those kind of, you know, kind of like 20 meter by 20 meter spaces that everyone's going to be locked on for the afternoon, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that's important to say as well, because especially, you know, you notice both have forward lines. They're back in the backs. They're, you know, giving a dig out whenever they're needed back there as well. I definitely think Garrod Hegarty was a little bit quieter against Waterford, but I mean, he's been unreal in the first few games for Limerick. He's definitely one of the key figures, and he's popping over scores where a couple of years ago they might be coming off for him, but they are this year, you know, and hopefully it'll continue that way for him. They used to be called kind of Hail Mary shots years ago, I think, but he's popping them over from all angles from each side. It will be where I think the key battles are. You know, definitely if the, you know, if the Galway half back line can marshal the Limerick half forward line, hold on, you know, and keep them relatively quiet, then, you know, it could go in Galway's favour. But I don't see that happening, to be honest. I think just the system Limerick are playing, that they're allowed, I suppose, a lot of movement, that they're allowed to get the ball in then to the likes of Aaron Gillan, whatever, then when needs be. And I think Keane Lynch has been a great asset as well. Now, you'd miss him sometimes. It just depends, I suppose, if he's going to be you know, pushing forward again this week. But I think he's a great option to have as well in the half forward line, you know, when he does move into that space, that, you know, sure, he's as exciting all the time when he's on the ball. But yeah, I just think definitely you're right to say that it's where the key battles are. But I do think Limerick just have the measure, I think, of it still.
Yeah, so we seem to be unanimous here. Even I'm back in Limerick, which is a serious problem for John Kiley.
Don't do that.
there's nobody seeing a Galway win here then, no?
Well, what I would say, Mikey, I think going back to how the whole conversation began around semi-finals weekends, which, by the way, I'm not entirely sold on, but that's probably another day's debate. I do feel that the game itself, like the promotional aspect, sometimes can get a small bit lost, but I think you could not but be impressed with when the two matches are staged across one weekend. It's a festival of hurling in the capital city, and it is a very impressive sight, especially when there's crowds allowed into the game. So you could not, you'd have to accept that. But to go back to the original point, I wouldn't be surprised to see extra time in one or both. I think there will be very, very little in it. Don't know what way the bookies have it. Don't really care either, I suppose, because it doesn't make any difference no matter who I plump for. They'll probably lose. But Galway. I would see this as a big banana skin potentially for Limerick. Like, this is definitely one they could slip on and, like, definitely be sitting in the Galway psyche. The fact that they were beaten in All-Ireland final by the team they're about to take on Sunday, like, that surely is going to be worth something in terms of motivation. So I think both are difficult to call, but you'd probably run with the favourites in both again, I suppose. But that's just going according to form lines.
Okay. We'll move on to the Camogie finals, which are playing as they're opening up in Croke Park on Saturday. You got Cork v Kilkenny at 12:30, followed by
Parky Queeve, Mikey. Yeah.
Oh,
down to Cork. Yeah, down to Cork.
Apologies. They are indeed.
The mini Croke Park.
Yes, that's correct. Looking back, Aoife, at the last few years, it's not unheard of, but it's unusual for a quarter finalist winner to come through a semi-final. Galway did it last year, Kilkenny in 2016, and Cork did it a couple of times, 2013 and 2014. So when you look at the matchups, you got Cork who came through against Clare convincingly in the end, and then Tipperary who got past Waterford are playing Galway. Do you think there's something in that you know, the teams who perform best in the group stages seem to be best primed for a semi-final, is because it seems to be how historically it's gone.
I don't, to be honest. Like, I think, like, just looking even at, just take Kilkenny. I haven't seen them play at all this year. They had a relatively easy group, and that's no disrespect to, they're in with Westmeath, Waterford and Limerick, and they won all their matches at a canter. You know, Denise Gall, I don't know what she racked up, but she'd super scores running up into that. But I haven't, we haven't seen Kilkenny since. They got straight into the semi-final. Galway were probably luckier. They got to play Cork in their group and they had a really tough battle. I was up that match in Pearse Stadium. It was a great game, and it was actually Rebecca Henley's two sideline cuts that were kind of with
Ireland. The difference, weren't they? Yeah.
They were brilliant, but that was the difference that day. So that'll stand to Galway even in their semi-final, because, you know, they had that extra bit of a game. Whereas Kilkenny are going in, I think they're going in a little bit kind of, you know, I won't say underprepared, but Cork this year, like, they're playing Cork that, as Paddy calls them, they're in transition, but, like, Cork Camogie's always in transition.
They
haven't won in All-Ireland the previous year, as far as I can see. But they're playing really well. They have a new style, which, to be honest, I don't like. They're hand-passing the ball for the sake of hand-passing, as far as I can see. It could take 20 hand-passes to come out of the, before they reach midfield, which is just a little bit, you know, tedious at times when they have such great forwards, you know. But I think momentum will be with Cork in the first game, because they just got that extra practice in with that system that they're playing. In the second game, it's a little bit more difficult to tell. And even with the time of year that's in it, I think it might suit Tipperary Camogie, because they're actually unbeaten. so far this year as are Galway, because Tipperary were unlucky that COVID halted their plans. They got into a league final for the first time in years, and it was a really big thing for them as well, because I suppose, you know, I grew up watching Tipperary Camogie when I was younger. They were the leading lights. They were up there, and then they faded away since. They haven't been in an All-Ireland final since 2006. So they were delighted to get to a league final. Then that was cancelled. It's not even, you know, it's not going to be played. So I think their manager was a bit peeved that, you know, they didn't try and play it even at a later stage in the championship, like what they did in the hurling, you know. Mm. But yeah, the first game will be tough. You know, there's no love lost between Cork and Kilkenny, definitely. No. They've played a good few times in the finals. I think it's 4 finals they've played, and Kilkenny have only come away winners once. And even in a few of those finals, I think Kilkenny, like on paper, would have been the better teams. But Cork are just cute. Yep. Camogie, they played, you know, a really cute game, and they, you know, they beat them on the day, whatever, which is perfectly fair. So it'll be difficult to call, I think, definitely. But just from even the Camogie point of view, Rory, I'd say you were delighted with the quarterfinal package that you got from Páirc Uíomh, because the Camogie looked excellent. It looked the real deal, as opposed to getting, like, you know, your video sent up from the likes of the Rag, and it's a low level camera, yeah. You know. Yeah, and yeah, I think it just looked really, really good as well. And I was at the games, the quality was super. Yeah, so, yeah, you know, it makes an awful difference.
Yeah, and like the Páirc Uíomh is a brilliant setting for any match now. Like, and we saw that again there last Sunday, you know, when Tipperary won, even without a crowd, like, you know, it looks fantastic. The new rules, Aoife, success or otherwise for you?
Yeah, you know, the...
Have they made much of a difference?
Not much. I you know, people were giving out a ride. I think actually with that Cork and Galway match, that Galway dropped the hurley a few times when they were hand-passing, and that it wasn't picked up by the referee. But a few quick puck out came in. It's used sometimes, you know, Cork more so are better at it. They're hitting sharp puck outs to their corner back lines, and then, you know, working their way up and kind of playing more football style this year. But other than that, a few quick frees have been hit as well. You know, if you win a free, you can take it from your hand. You know, it's kind of more of an indirect. You can't score that way, but you can take it straight away. But other than that, I like them. There's more physicality in the game.
More physical contact anyway being allowed, which is good, I think, isn't it?
Great, because there was nothing worse than, like, there were so many finals over the years. It was whistle happy. It was stop start, and you'd be looking at it going, you know what. But I suppose the only thing is, it's still, the consistency is still a little bit difficult. Like, even the same guy ref two of the games, I think it was John Darmody, might have ref the two games, but in both games he gave the opposite decision for what I would have thought was the same thing. It was kind of a charge, and it was you know, one player might have charged into the other one, but he gave a free in at one stage and gave a free out the next day. So I just remarked, like, to Angelina, who I was watching, like, oh, that's a bit funny. It was the same thing last week, but it was the opposite decision. And that happens an awful lot in Camogie, that it would be the opposite decision for what you think is a kind of a predictable free. And then that's when the frustration kicks in, and when people start going nuts. And like for Clare the last day against Cork, they were unlucky that they didn't get a few little decisions their way, because they weren't far off them. But those little decisions then meant that Cork went down and got a goal at the other end, and it was curtains then for them, you know. So it's those small things that really kind of can hinder teams.
Yeah, Anthony, I was going to ask you, I wonder, were you watching the game? Because the scoreline does Clare absolutely no favours. 3:15 to 8 points. That wasn't a fair reflection on it. Cork just pulled away at the end. How is this? Because the one thing you say about Camogie is there's 3 or 4 teams at the top, and they're kind of on a, you know... It needs to grow much the same as
it is lacking a bit of depth.
You say the same thing about hurling. Like, the more counties competing at the top level, the better. How are the inter-county team viewed in Clare, and is the club scene, is it successful at the moment?
Yeah, well, it would have been with Scarafog Unlaw last year, you know, getting to the Ireland Club final, and you know, I think a massive effort went into the Clare senior Camogie team this year. With Conor Dolan going in as a coach, had been the Galway coach the previous year, and Gerard Connell, who was sub goalie to Davy for so long, being the manager. So, yeah, I'd say disappointed by the scoreline, but if they can stick with that management package, I'd say they'd be very hopeful going forward, Mike, that they're onto something good. And they seem to have everybody playing for them at the moment and making themselves available, which is, for me, what it's all about if they are to get there. Sometimes in the past, we wouldn't have the best players playing for Clare. So that seems to have changed. And you'll be hopeful going forward they could take another step or two.
Yeah. Aoife, we're talking about teams bridging the gap, making it more competitive at the top. Tipper into their third semi-final in a row, but it's hard to make a case for them winning it, really, isn't it?
To be honest, like, I was kind of looking at them in the semi-final, or the quarter-final, and I was nearly giving Waterford a chance, but Tip totally impressed me in the quarter-final then. They've just their full forward line even. They've caught Devan up there. She's probably one of the best players in the country. She can hit scores right or left, any side of the pitch from 50, even 60 yards out. She was at it the last day with the wind at her back. So she's very good. Neve Tracy was midfield. Karen Kennedy is their centre-back. She popped up for a goal. She had no reason to be up in the forward line, but she got a goal that day. They've really great players. They've won... They've had a lot of success, and anytime we used to play a lot of the Tip teams in the club championship, you'd find it very hard to get past them. And as well as that, Aisling Maloney is the ladies footballer that a lot of you might know. She's a brilliant ladies footballer. But she's
suspended the last day, was she?
She was suspended the last day. So, and I think she might have only played 40 minutes of a game so far this year. But she was really exciting. She's a strong physical player, and if they use her on Saturday, it could be a different story. They're unlucky that, I suppose, it's different for them. Colin Reardon came home to play, from the Aussie rules scene, whereas Orla Dwyer...
It's going the other way.
Yeah, and she's gone over for her pre-season, and it's a pity they couldn't have held on to her at all. She's a brilliant player. Their club played our club in a challenge game during the summer, and I just couldn't get over her athleticism and her skill and her speed and everything. So she's an awful loss to Tip, but Tip didn't dwell on that. They just said, we have who we have, but they have a lot of players who've won in Ashburns with UL, and they'll be happy enough going into it, and they'll be confident. They haven't lost this year, and I think their manager Bill Mullally has really built a good spirit between them as well. And they have a serious bench. I think they have three girls who were nominated for All-Stars last year who are sitting on their bench. It's not like as if they don't have quality. So I do still think Galway should shade it, because Galway have been around a while, and they know what it is to win, which was something that they didn't know maybe 5 or 6 years ago, but they have that off their back now. And their full back line, you couldn't get past them. Sarah Durbin and Cat Devan will be a really interesting battle. Sarah was on Amy O'Connor up in Cork on the group stages, and she had a yellow card first ball in the first minute, and I said, well, she won't last anyway to this, but she did, and she was nearly player of the game for a finish. But yeah, it'll just be interesting, but I give Tip a chance, and if they can stick with them going into the last, into the last water break, definitely it could be an upset.
Okay, well, not to root against Galway by any means, but as we were discussing, some more fresh blood in the final would be great for the game. Okay, well, look, those games in Parkeycleeve, mini Crow Park, not actual Crow Park, are on RTE2 on Saturday from 12:30. And obviously the two hurling semi-finals are also on RTE2 and RTE Radio 1, and we'll have live blogs on all those games on the RTE website and the news app. So a great weekend of hurling and camogie ahead, and I just want to say thank you to Anthony, Aoife and Rory for looking ahead to it with us. If you're looking for talk about football, we will be recording that later, but putting it out first, that's confusing. I shouldn't have even bothered saying that to you. Anyway, it's there if you want it. It's mainly a discussion about Dublin football, Leinster football, and where do we go from here. Some hand-wringing if you want it. But that's it for the hurling this week. We'll be back next week to look back on the matches. And so thank you very much, and we'll catch you next week.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
What I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar. Oh, holy Moses.